So I'm going to share a bit on in Genesis 17 on Abraham. First Abraham and then Abraham. Yeah, I felt this. I actually started reading in Genesis 17 where Abraham encountered the Lord again and he gave him a new promise. He said, okay, now I'm going to change your name and your identity. I thought, you know, why? He's been walking with the Lord for so long, you know, why now all of this? It started in chapter 12 when God called Abram first. God pursued him. You know, he called him out of his old life into a new life. He gave him a new promise. I'm just going to run through the history and the comparison that it has to our lives these days. Okay, so he gave him that promise. He called him out of where he was. He said, okay, now come. I need you to move now. So we are drawn, God draws us to his heart. Okay, then we called out of our old life to pursue a new journey of faith, just as Abraham did. There's not always much detail to it. He just calls you and he gives you a promise. He doesn't say this is exactly how it's going to happen. And then, you know, he's got this promise and he pursues God and he follows his. He's full of faith. But then he makes mistakes as he goes along, all right? He makes mistakes. He goes to Egypt out of fear. He pretends his wife is his sister. And there is a portion in his life where he also stumbles, like we do. He makes immature decisions. We act out of fear. He acts out of fear as well. And that's sometimes in our walk. And there was also a misunderstanding of God. I don't know if you've misunderstood God in many ways. I have, definitely. So, and then he came to a stage where he had to share the land with Lot. So there was also a test for him now. And that's where he showed his surrendered heart because he trusted the Lord. And obviously Lot chose the shiny bit, the fruitful bit. And he got the desert part. But he trusted the Lord for that. He surrendered total control of that. You know, he let go, even if it wasn't according to his plan. And he trusted God to choose a path. At this stage, he also chose God over his own comfort when he saw the land. So, you know, that was the comfortable part. That was the easy choice to make. But he chose God over his own comfort, gave it to Lot. And then leading up to in chapter 15, 16, then he came to a point where he refused Sodom's wealth and he submitted to Melchizedek, to the will of God, to the priest of the high God. So there was a shortcut. There was ungodly alliances he could have chosen, but he didn't because his identity was rooted in Christ. And it wasn't rooted in the people or society around him. So that's a warning for us as well. That's just leading up to that. Because he believed God, it was accounted to him as righteousness. Not because of any works, because of his faith. It was accounted to him as righteousness. And then there was covenants he had to make. Yeah, so he was made righteous by faith. And we are also made righteous by faith. I mean, there's nothing in our strength that we can do physically and works to qualify our faith. We have to believe. Of course, Christ did it for us. And then, you know, the last mistake he made is he tried to make his own plan for his promise. Because God promised that he'll have a nation. He'll have many kids, many sons. And he wasn't doing it. He was waiting. Like it was like 10 years, eh? And then he decided he has to make a plan now because God hasn't made a plan. So, I mean, this is now, I'm running through a period of 24 years. So how many promises have you had? And you wait a week or month or 2 months or even a year. And God's quiet, but he gave you that promise. And you just wait. And the temptation to make it work. I mean, and he waited 10 years, then he eventually decided, no, no, no. Okay, let's do the Ishmael trick. So that's after 10 years, eh? So eventually, we get to chapter 17. Now, that's after 24 years. So the first promise he got when he was 75 years old, and now he's 99. And now God says again to him. And he had, I mean, it's a journey, 24 years. He's just like us. You know, he's had his temptations. He had his doubts. He tried things. He made mistakes. Tried to make his own plans. Then he listened to God. And he surrendered in the meantime. Surrendered stuff as well. So there was obedience. There was own plans in that. And then when I started reading chapter 17, verse 1 and 2. So when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. So this promise came 13 years after his first promise. So God just affirmed that. But now there was so much said in this. So the Lord appeared to him. And the Lord God said, I am Almighty God, which also is another name for that is the El Shaddai. And it emphasizes God's might over man's frailty. The awesome thing that God holds, the holiness, the reverence of God. You know, for Abram, after all those years of following the Lord, to come to that place to realize the reverence of God and how we can walk our lives and just be content and familiarize ourselves with the Lord and make the Lord our little friend. You know, how low can we go with that? Eh? We're dealing with God Almighty. Abraham walked to them for 24 years, and God let him realize, this is who I am. I am God Almighty. Okay? And then he says to him, walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Now, this blameless, guys, it's not just a word. Blameless is to live above reproach. It's living in integrity, in honesty, in loyalty, in faith. There's so much in blameless. And he calls Abraham and he says, now this is how you must live. Not like you've lived before in the previous 24 years. Even if you have been following me faithfully, this is how you must live now. Okay? So the mistake we make in our instant lives, we think if we give our lives to the Lord and we've changed our lives, it's done and dusted. And it's not. That's only the very, very beginning of our walk with the Lord. Then we go on to verse 3-5. So after this, he realized the reverence and the fear of God was in him. So what does he do? Abraham fell face down and said to God, as for me, this is my covenant with you. That's what God said to him. You will be a father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abraham. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. So just that falling on his face. The other translation says, behold. God told him, behold, I will make you. So it's like, do you know who I am? Do you know my promises for you? Okay? But in that all, he came to a place of total surrender and reverence. He fell down on his face before the Lord. Not like standing and believing, you know, hearing. There was an awesome reverence posture in his heart. And there he could receive the promise. There was a total surrender and humility. And why did God give him a new identity now? He changed his name. And that was so interesting for me. I mean, he knew Abraham all along for 24 years. Then he came to this point. No. I'm going to change. There's a new promise for you. There's a new identity. I'm going to even change your name. Because that, what you were, doesn't count. Well, it doesn't count anymore, but you've changed now. We can't work with Abraham. We need Abraham. I'm changing your identity. And every time I call your name, it means father of multitude, father of many nations. So he changed his identity from exalted father. That was his first promise. And he says, okay, now I'm taking you further because I've walked with you. I'm giving you a new promise. You're the father of multitudes now. And I'm changing your identity. It baffled me a bit because we know our identity changes the moment we receive Christ. We get baptized in Christ. We're a new creation. Our identity changes. Agreed? Yeah? That's one part of our identity that changes. But he's been walking with the Lord for 24 years. Why does he now change his identity again? And God changes our identity as we go along. I believe that. He's changed my identity a lot. Because you give your life to the Lord, you've changed your life, you turned your life around from whatever you were doing wrong, or your dedication to the Lord. And then you start walking. And then you realize soon that you have to change a lot of things in your life. You know, even a few years down the line, you realize, but I haven't got rid of this in my life. I'm still battling with anger. I'm still battling with relationships with unforgiveness. And he says, no, that needs to change. You know, so it's a constant thing that we have to walk. Our eternal identity is set, that we are saved. You can't change that. Well, you can fall away, but there's a constant changing in our character more. And that's part of changing identity. We can't just stick to our old self, even if we've given our lives to the Lord. And he confirms our identity as we walk with him, as he's doing with Abraham. He walked 24 years and he said, okay, now this is the new thing. So if we can read from 6 to 10 now, Genesis 17, and there the Lord promises him, I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you, the whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. Then God said to Abraham, as for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come. And this is my covenant with you and your descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. I won't go into the circumcision into too much detail now. You can do it in the biology lesson at school. But we all know what it is. So it was an everlasting thing. Remember, it was Old Testament. So it was a sign. Because God was serious about this. So he says, okay, this is what you must do now. And the reason for that was it was a physical marking in those days of the covenant that they belong to God. That God is with them. Okay? It symbolized the cutting away of the old life. Because it's the moving into the new promise that God has for them. It was also a sign of purity, a sign of separation. They separate. God has chosen them. You're going to walk with me. You're my descendants. And this is your identity. So it was an identity thing as well. And then it was also supposed to be a reminder of those promises to the future generations. Because it happened over 400 years, you know, this covenant thing, the circumcision. So what do we have today in the place of the circumcision? One of the things we have is also baptism. It's an act or a sign of a covenant to us. Because the Lord says, you know, when you believe, be baptized. So the baptism although it's not a, we can't, you can't see that I'm baptized physically, but there is a spiritual evidence. So remember, it's all in Christ now. It's the same thing. It's a cutting away of the old and raising up to the new. Okay, the same as the circumcision was supposed to be. It's also a circumcision of the heart. And we'll get to that scripture just now. So there's an old that's cut away and there's a new identity. We raise up in Christ. We're a new creation. So that's now coming to the new, because we can't live in the Old Testament. But it's all fulfilled. Christ fulfilled that for us. If we can go to Romans 2 verse 29, where it points to the circumcision of the heart. A person is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is circumcision of the heart by the Spirit and not by the written code. Such a person's praise is not from other people, but from God. And in Galatians 5 verse 6, for when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. And that's where the portion comes in. Abraham believed in God and it was accounted to him as righteousness. So if we get baptized, although it's physical, but our faith is going to make us righteous. Okay, there's not a fleshly cutting or anything of faith, and that's going to account to us as righteousness. So if we read in Genesis 17 verse 15 to 19, God also said to Abraham, as for Sarai, how do you pronounce it? I know the Afrikaans pronunciation. Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai, her name shall be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give her you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from you. And then, yeah, the funny thing is, yeah, Abraham fell face down and he laughed and said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said to God, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing. Then God said, yes, but your wife, Sarah, will bear a son, and you will call him Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. So God came and changed Sarah's identity and name as well. Where they both, the name both means princess, but Sarah has a broader meaning of a royal significance, of a mother. And interesting where Abraham, you know, if we think of laughing, when he laughed, remember, he didn't do it out of doubting God. He just thought, how is that possible? He wouldn't fall face down if he was joking with God. He did it out of reverence, but in himself he thought, yeah, obviously laughed. How is that possible? But it's not like he doubted God, because he'd already birthed the Ishmael. So, but now there's a different promise for Isaac. So this corrects any possible misunderstanding. The covenant line came through Sarah, not Hagar. Okay, the servant. So he had a plan with Sarah as well, because it was in the covenant of marriage, and he wanted to make sure it's secure there. So the plan was through both of them. Yeah, so, you know, given the fact that Abraham walked 24 years with the Lord, as I said, growing, making mistakes, exercising his faith, growing in grace, surrendering, believing again, God had this bigger plan. And we must remember, you know, God, from Adam, it didn't work. And then through Abraham now, he wanted to build a new nation. As I said in my sermon a few weeks ago, that was his second plan, to build a new nation. And from there, they're going to be in captivity for 400 years. They didn't know it, but he's building it under captivity. And then eventually, that didn't work, and his last plan was Christ. So the seed of Abraham points to Jesus. These scriptures, I haven't got them now, but he talks about the seed, not the seeds. His eternal plan was Christ, bringing up many sons. So for us, to learn out of that, the fear of the Lord as well. You know, we learn out of, we can see Abraham's thing, how God fulfilled his promises. So there's a few things we can learn out of that. That he beheld him in high reverence all the time. He walked a blameless life, surrendered. I mean, Abraham became God's friend. So close was he to God. He negotiated with the Lord. You know, when it came to Sodom and Gomorrah, saving Lot, he started negotiating with the Lord. He talked him down. I mean, we can't do that. How close was that to the Lord, you know? So that's the one example we must learn from that. A total surrendered, close life to the Lord. The other thing we can learn is God changes, as I said, as our identity. We must never settle with what you think you are. There's always a better plan that the Lord has. He wants to change something, tweak something in your life. And sometimes it's something to do with identity. Right? How you think about yourself. What do you think about yourself? The circumcision was a painful experience. Even Abraham had to, at his old age, and Ishmael and everyone had to be circumcised. I don't think there was a lot of anesthetic in those days. So it was a painful experience. So how painful is it for us now? Remember, it's a circumcision of the heart. And when the Lord starts doing things in our hearts, sometimes it's a bit painful. He's cutting to our hearts. And that's where the word says so many places in the word is when they hear the word, they were cut to the heart. So your heart's cut open, your spirit. And it comes at a place of surrender. And when you have to deal with stuff, sometimes it's not easy. It's painful. It's painful to confess. It's painful to forgive. It's not just a joyous thing to do. So that's where we get circumcised. So all our promises are in Christ. Okay? Now this is a controversial thing. And I've claimed a lot of that for myself. And promises don't always work out. A lot of the promises of, like for Abraham, sometimes we read the word and we claim it for ourselves. You know, we claim the blessing of Abraham as sons of Abraham. The word says it, but God planned the seed of Christ through Abraham, through the lineage of Abraham. It came to Christ. And who do we believe in? Who is our fullness? It's Jesus. It's Christ. So in Christ, our promises are fulfilled. So we can't believe Abraham for his promises. We have to believe Christ in Jesus. In Jesus, our promises are fulfilled. So anything we walk outside of Christ, as soon as we move away from Christ, those promises aren't true for us. And that's dangerous. And a lot of the promises is concerning a nation. The very well-known scripture that every second guy quotes, Jeremiah 29:11. My plans are not to harm you, but to prosper you. You know, you all know that. And that's the first thing that pops up when you pray for someone. But you must take it into context. It was for a nation that was in 70 years they were in bondage and they had a tough time. And there were consequences. So when the Lord promised them this, there's going to be consequences. They have to be disciplined. They have to be dedicated to the Lord. They have to change their ways. But, you know, when you pray that for someone or when you receive it for yourself, You think everything is just going to change. But there's consequences to it. You know, Andrew said in one of his sermons, if Paul was sitting in prison and he was about to be executed, and he prayed this prayer of Jeremiah 29:11, the Lord's got plans for you not to harm me, but to prosper me, even if my head gets chopped off. So are you prepared to pray the consequences as well? So we must be very careful. Our promises are in Christ. Our promises are in Christ. Christ fulfilled. God fulfilled all, everything, you know, all his plans that he had from Abraham, Moses, it carries on towards Christ. And then Christ came and he died for us. He did it all for us. So in Christ, our promises are in fullness. If we live outside or apart from Christ, our promises are going to be difficult. And we know in Christ, there's perseverance, there's suffering. Long suffering produces perseverance, suffering, and it ends up in love. But all those characters, if we live in Christ, that's how Christ works in us. And at the end of that, we have joy. Yeah. And the Lord also says, joy, take joy in your suffering. So that all points to Christ. So the most important thing is that we live in reverence of what God did for us through Christ. And Jesus must lead us. Our love comes from the Lord, our love for one another, and the love God had for us. To remain in him is the most important. To remain in him, that he leads us, that he fulfills our promises. And it's patience and endurance. Can we endure it for 24 years? I don't know what promises you had in your life. I've had promises more than 24 years ago. And we're still grinding through it. And we're waiting for it. Some of it's come to pass. But in our fast food world we live in, we want to eat and receive, and it must change immediately. And it's not the case. There's a real Christian life that we live in endurance, in long-suffering, but we do it in Christ. We can't do it outside of Christ because we will fall. It's in our flesh. So the last verse I want to share is Acts 17:26. From one man he made all nations. Okay, it starts from Adam there, and then it carries on. That they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out to him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. And we know that Christ is here by our side in our hearts. Okay? For in him we live and we move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. So through Christ, we are the offspring of Abraham and Adam from God. It goes back to God. But it's through Christ. Because we can't claim anything physical. Our faith makes us righteous. And we can, and God is pleased with our faith. Okay, it's counted to us as righteousness. But the most important is this portion, for in him, in Christ, we live, we move, we have our being, which means that's your identity, who you are in Christ. And there's a lot of promises in Christ, more than a conqueror. You walk with him. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and your neighbor as yourself. But to remain in him, to remain in him and move with him and remind yourself of who you are in Christ so that you don't waver. Amen.